Good morning. Okay, Father, I just pray, Lord, that as we're getting all situated up in the front and as we're getting ready for worship this morning, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you just prepare our hearts, Lord. Father, I just pray that you just kill this flesh, Lord. Just help us just to die to ourselves, Father. Lord, I just appreciate you so much, Lord. I thank you that we don't have to try to make things happen for ourselves, that we are not our own gods, that we don't have to strive. We just have to accept you as our Father and know that we're your children and that you love us and that you want the best for us. And it's not about us being perfect children. It's about us obeying because you want us to have freedom. It's not about all the do's and don'ts. It's just, you're just looking at us and saying, listen, guys, I don't want you doing those things because I want you to have joy. I want you to be happy. Not because I'm this being that's looming over you in this dooming voice, but because I love you. And you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that because that doesn't give you freedom. That puts you in chains. Father, help us understand your love and your freedom.
Heaven wants me. So this world has lost its grip on me. You won me. Somehow you won me. The King of Heaven wants me. So this world has lost its grip on me. God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to take my hands off of my life and the way it should go. Oh, God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to open my hands up and give you control. I give you control.
You know, sometimes the Lord tells us to do certain things, and, you know, sometimes we can just feel it in us. We can just feel Him saying, you know, I kind of want you to go in this direction. And I don't know about you, but a lot of the times for me, the first thing I want to do is go like this. Oh, even in my flesh and my skin, it's like, oh, but I don't want to do that. I want to do my own thing. You know, what He's saying? He's saying, you guys, just let go. I'm not going to force you. I'm saying this is your path. This is exactly what I want you to do. But you have to choose it. Because I love you, I'm giving you a choice. And I really, really, really hope you choose me. Help us to open our hands, Lord God. Help us to give you control. Help us not to cling on to the things that we think are best for us, Lord. Father, help us to trust you completely, Lord. Help us not to trust in ourselves, Lord, because if anything that we've learned is we keep making bad decisions, Father. Help us make the good ones quicker, without hesitation, without clenching our teeth or putting our hands in fists. Help us just to right away say, okay, Father, I don't get it. I don't want to do it. I don't get it. But I am going to trust you. Help me in my unbelief.
Your love is devoted, like a solid ring of gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is adoring, through the winter rain, and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been, and faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and that's why I sing your praise. Will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. You father the orphan, your kindness makes us whole. You shoulder our weakness, and your strength becomes our own. You're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes, for you will have your bride, free of all her guilt, and rid of all her shame, and known by her true name. And that's why I sing your praise. Will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe of the Levites, who taught the people, said to the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went away to eat and drink and send portions to all and celebrate a great festival, because they understood the works which had been made known to them.
In the morning when I arise, in the morning when I arise, in the morning when I arise, give me Jesus, give me
yeah, you can have.
Father, I do pray, Lord, that, Father, you are just the only one that we seek, Lord. Even before we get out of bed, Father, we can say, Lord, we give you this day. Lead us, Lord God. I pray that you lead my feet, Father. I pray that you lead my hands in everything that I do. Father, I pray that you renew my mind, Lord. If I had a bad day yesterday, Father, I just give this day to you, Lord, and I just pray that you erase all of that. Help me start new. Father, I pray that you lead my lips and the things that I should say, Father. We just give you everything, Lord God. I give you all of me, Lord. We are actually going to do No Place I'd Rather Be instead of this one.
No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Father, I just pray, Lord, that if any of us have that feeling of just growing cold, Lord God, or, you know, we still have that fire in us, but it's been blown on so much, Lord God, that it feels like it's about to go out. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you just restore that fire, Lord God. Just give us just a hunger and just a fighting spirit, Lord. Just to want to fight for what's right, Lord. Give us a voice, Father. Give us wisdom, Lord God. Help us just to keep staying in your word, Lord God, so that when there are questions that people ask, Lord, or even just inside of us that we're like, wait a minute, is what I'm doing right, Father? I pray that your words will ring so true in what we do, Lord God, that we don't have to question those things. And Lord, if there is something that we're doing that maybe we've been doing for years and we thought was okay, Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit loves us so much that you can gently correct us and rebuke us and put us in the right path as long as we're willing to listen, Lord. As long as we're willing to be corrected and that we're not stubborn and say, well, you know what, I've done it this way for so long, it's okay. You know, sometimes the Lord doesn't just He doesn't just chop things off right away. He wants us to have a soft heart, and he wants us to be willing to listen. I pray that we have that soft heart. Father, help us not to be so prideful as to think that we're right in everything. In fact, Lord, help us to be so humble so that we are so teachable, Father. I pray this all for myself too, Lord God. I never want to feel like I'm so right that I can't be taught. Renew that humble spirit in us, Father.
So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. I want more of you,
Amen.
Boy, I love that song. I think we all need a little bit more surrender to Jesus in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Let a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, control. I want more of you, God. Hi, Josh. You know what? Can I have the other one, other stool? Thanks, bro. You know what? It seems like this one's like 8 feet high for me. Thanks, buddy. You get an extra bonus and credit. Yes. That just got you a better grade.
Thank you.
All right. Well, welcome, you guys. We are so glad that you are here to our summer study in Daniel. We have a few announcements to go over in just a moment. But let's just take a minute, if you don't mind. Probably this is just more for me. Just you have one of those mornings. If you got a family, you know what I'm talking about. Everything's going wrong and the kids are, you know, it's like. So let's just take a minute and I'm going to pray for me. And if you want to pray for me, that'd be great. A little bit selfish. But Father, I do just say thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you for saving me, Lord God. Thank you for giving me a new hope and a new plan and a new purpose, Lord God. It's all for you, Lord God. Lord, I pray, Lord, all the things and all the distractions that the enemy tries to use to get us off track and to get me off track, I pray, Lord, that just like Moses, Lord God, and your people, you would just part the waters, Lord God, and that you would flow through clearly and cleanly, Lord God, that anything that you want said would be said to your people here today. You've brought people here that want to hear from you, Lord God. So any distractions, any just anything that's vying for my time or mental capacity, Lord, I just ask that you would move them all aside so we can all focus, at least I can focus on you. And Lord, I pray for this wonderful congregation, Lord, that you would just encourage them. Lord, they need your strength. They need your courage all the more as they see the day approaching, Lord God. So bless them, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord. Encourage them, Lord, and just pour out your blessing upon them that they may know you more, more deeply, more wholly, more fully, Lord God, that you would just lavish your love on them and your Holy Spirit, that you would give them understanding in your word as we go through it today and teach it, Lord God, as we share one with another, Lord God, what you're doing in our lives. We're sharing our testimonies, Lord. Help us to surrender it all to you for your glory. Help us to truly live for your honor and glory. We ask your blessing on this service, on this grounds, on these people, and we ask it in the mighty, awesome name, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you, guys. Praise the Lord. Okay, now I'm ready. All right. Well, we have a couple things to go over really quickly, and then we'll go into our summer study of Daniel. So let me turn this thing on, and we will go through. Okay, you guys know tithes and offerings. You know where to put them in a little bird box in the back. We're not going to take up an offering or make you feel manipulated, but you should give. God loves a cheerful giver, and just put it back in the bird box as he lays it on your heart to do so. If you're looking for things to do in Clearwater, they've got Big Church Night Out. Tickets are $20 each, featuring Crowder and Jordan Feliz and Sarah Reeves. And there's also a couple like Illusionists and things like that. Want to make sure you know that's available to you. Also, Flo mentioned this. I don't know if she's at Children's Ministry here, but one of the ministries, one of the missionaries we support is Loving Hands Ministries, and they were here a few months ago. We had a bunch of their guys here, and they shared with us in the service. They're a recovery program and addictions focused on the Lord. It's a two-year program. Anthony, Flo's son, is in that program. It's been about a couple years. Anyway, so he came out here as well. It was an amazing time. Well, anyway, they have opened up a thrift store, okay, and it's on Manatee Avenue, okay? And so if you guys are interested in giving, donations are accepted. You'll see the hours up on the screen. Volunteers are always welcome if you're wanting to serve. The money goes back to help the ministry at Loving Hands to help people break free from the chains of addiction. And so all the money goes back towards that. And here's a group of them. And there's our handsome Anthony right there. I love it. A little extra girth now, a little extra muscle on him. Yes. It looks good. So anyway, so we want to make sure you guys are aware of that. And also, we've got some amazing praise reports. I'll even start back. Some amazing praise reports. I had to write them down. Okay, for those of you who don't know, we asked you all to just pray because it would take like just a miraculous thing to have Sue Berger's book to be open, to be read, downloaded, and all the inmates' tablets so that they can read it. And we just wanted to say thank you for prayer because if I understand it, Sue, is this correct? That they have given the go-ahead for that book to be downloaded on any of the inmates and all of the inmate stuff so they can read it and be healed in Jesus' name. It is an absolute miracle. So thank you for prayer. I don't know if there's anything you want to say, Sue.
Thank you.
It's And here's the website right here, recoveryandbeyond.org. You can download it, read. You can read it for free online right there. But for them to be willing, yeah, and for the jail, though, to be willing to do that is a huge, miraculous God thing.
Is that across the U.S. or is that Florida?
That's local. Yep, we'll see. That's step one. Hey, wouldn't that be awesome? Okay, so now we got to pray. Let's say Sarasota County next. Does that sound good? And then we'll just expand from there. Oh, okay. Sarasota County, Manatee County next. Cool. All right. Also, I just wanted to say thank you so much for so many people volunteered and helped just last week painting the new building there. It looks amazing and it looks fantastic. So we had to paint the older building, and now it looks fantastic. We had so many people. We actually, I think, finished it, except for, I think, the office and the bathroom. And so,
thank you, everybody that came out. That was amazing.
It was amazing.
It looks gorgeous in there. It looks almost brand new. We're so thankful.
Yes, it does. The whole place freshened up, and there were so many people that volunteered. We were able to get it done. Honestly, what a blessing that you guys would just come out and do that, you know, and move stuff and paint, you know, and you know who you are, but thank you for doing that. It's a huge blessing to all of us, and God knows. So also, CYIA, just wanted to say, awesome, praise the Lord. Thank you for your prayers for the teens that are ministering at other churches. They were ministering this week, and a couple of kids gave their life to Jesus Christ through the teen ministry. Isn't that amazing? So praise the Lord. So keep praying for them. They're at another church this week, And they'll be here doing a five-day kids club at our church in August. But I just, there were so many praise reports, I just jotted them down so I wouldn't forget. And so some of them we've already gone over, but some kids are giving their lives to Jesus Christ because of the teens here at the church and the school. God's using them. Thank you, God. Sue's book, it's amazing. Also, lovely Linda, for those of you who used to sit right there, she's moved up north. But she listens every single week to you guys and to the teachings. For those of you who were praying for her, it looked like the reports were pretty bad that she had cancer without getting into any details. And it looked pretty much like a sure thing. But she asked us all to pray at the body. We sent out a text and everybody prayed. And people have been praying for her. And she just called me and she's like, "You're not going to believe it." She's like, "What, Linda? I am going to believe it." She's like, "I had determined in my heart that if I had it or if I didn't have it, I was going to honor the Lord. I had made that commitment in my heart, whatever way it went, that I just want to honor the Lord, however it goes, no matter what happens." And I said, "I know, I think that's great." She's like, "But all of a sudden, God did a miraculous thing, and they did the test, and then they did a follow-up test because they didn't believe the first test, and it was all gone and healed." So she wanted to... So it's all gone. Nothing's showing on the test. She wanted to let you know and that she loves you very much. Also, thank you again for the painting of the portable. Also, Anthony and Tim, I don't know if you noticed this back here, but this whole area, when they cut this out, this used to be a smaller room, and the folks cut it out, and it hasn't been painted. This whole wall and the back wall, it's been left with drywall for, I don't know, like a year and a half, maybe two. And so... thanks to Anthony and Tim coming early. They've painted it. It looks, and redid it. It looks beautiful. They did that as well. So thank you for that. Hey, and there's no clock put back on the wall. So really, I can talk as long as I want. You can't do nothing. No. That was Anthony and Tim. Oh, George, right there. Thank you. Thank you. With the clock. Thank you so much. Let's see, what else? The permitting for the portable is like going through at record pace. Like, it's literally, when I say unbelievable, it's unbelievable. What's happening with the permit and as far as the county goes. And so it's just fantastic. The person, here's some other praise reports. The person who is building the ramp and the stairs wanted to give it to us at their cost. And so it was an amazing thing that he wanted to do it, but he wanted to do that for us. And he did it a month early. He was supposed to take about a month. And he's like, "You know what? I'm just going to get it done. The whole thing's done already. The stairs and the ramp, I think, are completely done already." It looks fantastic. That's not even supposed to be done for another month. And so that's amazing. We have to buy, when we get new portables, in order to use it, we have to buy new equipment. Okay, so this is kind of a little thing. This is just a little thing that lets you know God, not to you, Lisa, but whiteboards. Okay, it sounds like a dumb thing. Okay, but whiteboards cost a lot of money, especially if you get the good ones, especially if you get the big ones and you get the magnetic ones. Well, the guy gave us for free... We called him and said, "There are literally 15-foot whiteboards, magnetic. We needed two. And you can't even buy. These are specially made because they're so huge." And they were both in the classroom when we got them. And so we called him up. We're like, "Okay, we just want to let you know these were left in there." He's like, "Oh, okay, well, you could have them for free. That's like a couple $1,000 worth of whiteboards." We're like, "Hallelujah, thank you, Lord." So it's just things like that. Okay, also, there's more. Okay, the guy, Jim and Marcia Gnome, the guy who cleared the back, I don't know if you've noticed that, in the back there, he's been clearing it and leveling it for whatever, for the kids, for the parking, whatever, to use. And so... finally, this has been a long process. You know, Stanley was kind enough to dump, I don't know, 20, 30 loads of dirt. By the way, also completely for free, he did that, arranged that. Oh, Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And so anyway, so it's all been leveled back there, and he just has a couple things to finish it up. Anyway, the bottom line is he gave us, we're kind of scared about the bill, and he gave us like a 70 to 75% discount. And it was so cheap, we were blown away. And he was just so thankful for us and happy to do it for you guys. See, people you don't even know, I just want to let you know, God is just working and God is blessing. You don't even realize some of these things. But wait, there's more. Okay, the guy who's doing the plumbing for us for the new building, okay, decided, and nobody's asked him to do this. He volunteered to do it. All the product, everything we need, at cost. And then on top of that, he volunteered all of his time to do the plumbing.
Oh my goodness.
Is that unbelievable?
It is.
So, I mean, it's just, I love it when God does stuff like that. And then, you know, honestly, on top of that, I just want to, the teens from the school and the church spent 2 days and they dug all the plumbing with him. And so, you know, I mean, that is an amazing 2 days in the hot sun. And their pay was, well, I don't even know if we gave them water. No, yeah, they did get food and water, but they just did it to be a blessing. And so I just want to say thank you for that. Okay, let me think. What else? Yes, I'm sorry.
The people that were doing construction are not affiliated with the church, mm-hmm. like the land here.
Yeah. That would be amazingly cool.
I mean, it's different when you see, like, individual people's names.
You know what? You know, that would be super if you would do that. Yeah.
Right. So
thank you. And if you need money for the cards, Gary, we'd be happy to give that to you. Out of his personal wallet. Just tell him whatever you need.
We got it.
Maybe from the tithes would probably be better, Gary. Okay.
I can buy a couple cards, okay?
You what now? Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Okay, all right. Okay, well, I think we're okay right now, but definitely talk with Lisa. But those 50, I mean, it takes up the whole wall over there. They're incredible. The head of CEF, I used to teach at a school with me, and when she saw the whiteboards, she fell down on her knees right in front of everybody, just started praising the Lord. She couldn't believe it. It is a teacher's dream, but thank you for that. That's awesome. Also, for those of you who know Jonathan and Robin, call her Robbie, the missionaries from China, and now they're doing college ministry here in town. What we're going to do for them, I've known them for about, I don't know, 20 years now. Robbie actually led worship for me at my very first Bible study that we ever had when we first were together, like 20 years ago or something like that. And so anyway, we've known them for a long time, and we're going to ordain him a missions minister, and that's going to give them a little bit more openings to where they're ministering at New College and credibility out at New College and out at Ringling. You know, he's already a minister. He's already a pastor. He's already shepherding those people and leading Bible studies. But in their eyes, it gives them more credibility in the school's eyes and the government's eyes. And it'll probably allow them to get a little bit of a tax break, too. So hopefully, so we're going to do that. That's August 20-somethings. Thank you, 26. Yes. Hey, you're absolutely right. Also, Robin, for those of you who don't know, she's been experiencing a lot of pain. I know this is a lot. I'm so sorry. But she's being healed. And in fact, she's going to start out. She's been really in bad shape, for those of you who don't know. She's going to start out by teaching at the high school. She's going to be teaching Spanish and culture here. And that's a huge step for her. And God's just been healing her. So please continue to pray for her. Also, Carrie says she loves you. Was the impression. We talked to her yesterday. Peggy and Lester sent a card to you. Says this. We're in Zimbabwe. As we think back and all our blessings, we remember you. The love gift of groceries we found at our home was from our church. It was gratefully appreciated. The $400 that your church gave helped us with expenses. This all was so thoughtful. They're the missionaries in Zimbabwe, for those of you who don't know. We thank you for your support, your prayers, and can't wait to see what the future holds. Love in Jesus, Lester and Peggy. Okay, I think that's about it. Nate is installing a new soundboard, so we won't have any more sound problems. Andy fixed the speaker. Praise the Lord. I think that's all. One, okay, I'm going to say it's negative. Okay, so one to me, a sad thingy, but it's a good thingy. Also in August, in September, we're going to need you guys to be praying, because for those of you who don't know, Josh and Amster have been driving at least two hours to come up here. They live in, I don't know, port somewhere, way down south.
But, live at a port.
Or at the port, maybe. Anyway, they've been driving up here for like 2 hours for like almost a year or two now, 2 years now. So, and honestly, they've been trying to find a place up here, back up here, and it's not working out. And so one of two things needs to happen. If they don't get a new place, which I'm still hoping that they find a place really super cheap, that's great, like in the next couple months, what we're going to do is they need to be in fellowship, because 2 hours up here in the evening, they can't make it up. They need to be in fellowship. And so we're going to also just take and do a send-off on that same day with Robin and Jonathan. And we're also going to anoint him. I hope you, if you don't get a house up here, I hope you start a church down there and minister to people. Because I know God has a call on your life. And I know right now you can pray for him. His job is making him work, you told me 14 to 18 hours a day sometimes.
Oh, wow.
And so he's been in charge, upgraded to management in different territories now with a new company that bought his company. And so it's just an awful lot for them. And so if you could be in prayer for their family. Mm-hmm. But you guys have been such a blessing for so long. So be in prayer that either they get a house up here, or that God will send us somebody starting in September for worship. And whatever God has, we just want to pray God's blessing over you. You guys are amazing. So, okay, I think that pretty much covers everything. I think that's it. All right, I'm going to skip through all that. You guys know Bible studies this week, right? Tuesday, men's group. Okay, 1 Timothy. Transformers youth group. Okay, going through the book of James. Parenting course, you know, Thursday. Oh, and the other praise report. Yeah, I had that up there. I must have skipped it. We did our first, not a fan movie night. And I think we had 22 people show up for that. And so I just want to, that's an amazing thing. And if there's anybody, this is a book by Kyle Eidelman called Not a Fan. This is a fantastic book that Jen has just read, so I know she's jazzed in it. I've been pushing this book for a while. If there's anyone who would like to read this book, it's a little bit of a challenge to your faith. There's two people in here that I felt like the Lord told me to give the book to. Don't know if they're reading it, but I hope so. But if you would like it, it's a free gift in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Go once.
Okay.
Free book. Will you read it?
I'll try.
Okay.
You say it's a challenge.
It is. Anybody else? It's not because it's a hard read. It's actually pretty funny. It's right on, but it's, when I say it's a hard read, I mean it cuts to your heart. So, I have a number of copies to give away to this body. Absolutely. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Teresa. Hey, St. Victor, will you hand this to Graham? Thanks.
Darren, is that the one you sent for Richard? That's the one you sent
me. I don't. I have to check now. I'm always trying to get books in that kid's hand.
I'm pretty sure.
I think it was too, actually. Yeah, I'm almost positive it was. Anybody else? You too? Okay. Okay. All right. We'll bring in some more books next week. Oh, hey. How about I just give it to you now? Did you? Somebody put that there? Okay. All right. Anybody else want one? Is that hand up? Is that you just chatting, or is that you? Okay. All right. That's okay. I'm used to being ignored, Kim. No big deal. Yes.
Folks, do not take what goes on at this church for granted. Please appreciate everything that happens here. I went to a church up there that I'd gone to before. And when I walked through the door, no one greeted me. No one said anything. It was so dry. It was the same old rote this and that, the Methodist way. I was so turned off that I said, man, I really miss Home Fellowship Church.
Oh, thanks.
Appreciate what we have here. Participate in what we do here. Speak to someone that you haven't spoken to before. Let them know the love of Christ is alive and well in this church.
Yeah.
And take full advantage of it, because this just doesn't happen.
It's awesome.
It doesn't happen by accident. It is intentional. The love that happens here, the actions that are taken here, are intentional. Mm-hmm. Intended by and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen. Mark, you can teach next Sunday. That's fantastic.
I spent 8 years in the Northwest looking for church. Never found it. I returned here. I'm back. I mean,
thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Okay. There was never a feeling of walking in the door and feeling like you were at home.
That's so encouraging to hear. You know, Lord just told me to shut up. So he didn't say shut up. That's just how I interpret it. He uses different words with me than I use in my own head. But all right, well, let's go right to our Bible teaching in the book of Daniel. And Elijah, would you grab some of those Bibles? If anybody needs a Bible, raise your hand, and encouraging Elijah, we'll get one right to you. All right.
Karen.
Yes.
I want to thank the church for sending a brand new Bible.
Oh, yeah.
To my nephew, who is in prison. And he loves it. Absolutely loves the one.
He is so thankful.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, and you know what? You guys make this all possible. You guys give the funds back in the tithes. You guys, you know, we wouldn't be able to give like this if it wasn't for you guys. And I feel kind of, we don't usually mention the things that we do all the time because we don't want it to be like we're boasting about it. But I just want to say thank you, because none of this would happen without you guys. You know who the ministers are here at this church?
Everybody.
You guys. It's all of us. We're the ministers of Jesus Christ here. So congratulations. You've been promoted. I don't know. Whatever. All right. So we are in Onward and Upward. We are in Daniel. Elijah, would you mind sitting over close to the lights? And I'll just... We are in Daniel chapter 4. And it's Nebuchadnezzar. And the chapter, we made our way through, the chapter kind of begins at the end of with a presentation letter of praise to God for his recovery. And it's basically his testimony. He goes through, this is how I was doing, this is how I was, this is who I was, and this is what happened. And then all of a sudden, I went through all these hard times, and then I got saved. Woo-woo! And that's what this letter is about. It's a testimony. Nebuchadnezzar is a witness for God, and that's what he's doing. He's wrote a letter to all the provinces. He's like the king of the known world, and he's writing a letter saying, hey, I want everybody to know now that this God is the Most High God. He's the king of the universe. He's the one that's in charge, and it's an amazing thing. There's a transformation that's occurred, and so... So he's telling the story, and we're in the middle of his story of how he got, how he gave his life over to God, is what I think, and how he got saved. And so There was a dream. God gave him this dream about a tree that he saw, and it was touching the sky. It grew so big that it was visible to the whole earth, and it had beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all people. And the birds of the air came, and animals took shade in its strength and its majesty. And then what happened was a messenger from God came. And a messenger from God came, and he heard that he had to cut this tree down, all of it. Cut it down, but then the messenger said to leave the stump and the roots. And I want you to protect the stump with iron, and I want you to do that. And then, after that, I want you to be drenched with water and with the dew for 7 seasons or 7 years, and then it's going to be restored. And so he called his, you know, all of his magicians and all that. And of course, as usual, they didn't want to get involved to the guy who cuts up people and makes their houses a dunghill from our other studies. And so little Nebi here is scared. So finally they called Daniel. And of course, Daniel is a man of the Lord. And so he prays. God gives him a supernatural interpretation. And he gives him the interpretation. He said, hey, Nebmeister. I'm sure he didn't talk to him like that. But he said, oh, I wish this was for your enemies. And through tears, had to tell him, hey, this is you. You're this tree. You've grown this way. You're that head of gold. Babylon has flourished. It's an amazing place and it's an amazing city. And you're the king of the world. And God's going to cut you down. And the reason why is because you have been oppressive and unkind and not giving honor to the king of heaven. You've been worshiping false gods. And so that was a tough thing for Daniel to say, right? And that was in verse 27. I'll just read it. That's where we left off. Where after he told him all this, he said, therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins. I love that. What is he telling him to do? Repent. Now, that's pretty unpopular term in churches today, isn't it? Hey, I repent. That means, the word means to have a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of direction. God's saying, hey, he's saying to the king of the world, I want you to have a change in the way you're going. This is how you were living. This is how you were thinking. Stop it. Go the other way. That's what a real Christian would do in love. To me, I'm seeing it almost in tears. You know, I kind of run it through as a play in my mind. And I just see Daniel pleading with this man, knowing what's going to happen to him. And pleading with him, renounce your sins by doing what's right. And your wickedness. Whew, he's calling the king of the world wicked. Dang. Now, is he doing this because he's a self-righteous guy? He's speaking the truth in love. And we were talking about that too. All right, we all went through all this. But he's speaking the truth in love. And that's kind of when we left off. He says, renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness, by being kind to the oppressed. And maybe then your prosperity will continue. Hey, I'm not God, but he's saying maybe this will happen. And so that's kind of where we left off. And it says, and then his next section in verse 8, it says the dream is fulfilled. And he's telling his testimony. He says, and all this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. Does your Bible say that? Mine says two. Now, can I tell you what I circled the two, because I write in my Bible. I highlight in the Bible. I hope you do too, if you feel permitted from the Lord. And I wrote, instead of, I don't know if I want to say something here. A lot of times when we get, now he's just been told he's wicked. He's been having these dreams. He's terrified of him. He can't sleep. He's freaking out. He knows something's not right. And so God brings him a word. And he's saying, all these things happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. There are times in our lives when we're going through hard times. Now, sometimes the enemy's there to trip us up, right? Sometimes it's our own poopy decisions, right, that's causing us to stumble. Isn't that true? But sometimes it's the Lord's discipline. Sometimes it's the Lord's correction for us. Now, can I just want you to keep things into perspective. My Bible says in that first verse, 28, all this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. And I put a circle there because that's what God has in here. But can I tell you what really is the deal? This is his perspective at this point. All of these things are all happening for King Nebuchadnezzar. See, sometimes our perspective is skewed. You know, look at these gray symbols here. I have on here, how's your perspective lately? When you look at these gray symbols, how are you seeing things that you're going through? Do you know what I'm saying? All these things are happening to me. I'm having these bad dreams. I was doing okay until all this conviction started happening. Stuff. Maybe God's trying to speak to you. You see, if you guys can see it now, you see maybe a J and an E and an S and a U and an S. What is your perspective? What are you focusing on? Our God is for us, not against us. His goal is not to hurt you or to punish you, to make grind you into powder. He loves Nebuchadnezzar. Now listen, Nebuchadnezzar is a terrible man who gouges out eyes and kills people, murders towns, takes people's slavery. Let me tell you, some of you are pretty terrible, I know. I know. But you're not King Nebuchadnezzar. And God loves Nebuchadnezzar. And all this is happening for him because God is trying to get him to change his heart. So many Christians, when they're going through these hard times, right? I can't see God. I can't see. Now, when you looked at that thing at first, you couldn't see Jesus, right? You saw that. Your perspective was wrong. But when you started looking at it right, you saw Jesus. Now, I like this little cartoon, and this is what it's like for a lot of Christians. God's just far away from me. He just doesn't love me, right? He doesn't care about me. I don't see him anywhere. And if you look at this next one, he's all mad. I can't see anything. He's too far away. And he's right there in front of you. Sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. Do you know what I mean? And so we're getting all mad. And sometimes, this one you guys might know, could you hit that light? It says, he's praying, God, please protect me. And then he gets hit by that stone. Why, God, why? And you know what the sad thing is? The people who really need to hear that, besides you, aren't here today because they're mad at God. Why? But then, if you notice, he's there. Oh, I'm sorry, did I miss one? Are you all right? You see, God is right there in the mix. It's just our perspective is so wrong. It's so off. It's about me, me, me. And that book that you got is going to be talking to you and challenging you. It's about him, him, him. And so our perspective needs to be right. He's doing this not to Nebuchadnezzar. He's doing it for him so that he'll repent and he won't have to spend his life in hell. I think that's pretty awesome. Listen, Psalm 119:71 says this, it was good for me to be afflicted. And here's the reason why, so that I might learn your decrees. That's what Psalm 119:71 says. Listen, there's two times when you learn things. God had sent him a supernatural dream. Hello. I think that should be enough. If I was God, I'd be like, I have gone way out of my way. In fact, when I had my son Jesus in that fire in front of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you weren't paying attention, that was enough. Or how about the dream you had way back when? Remember that one? Back in chapter 2, that should have been enough. But no, there's two times you learn it. Here he's even, Daniel's given him the interpretation. there's one, and if you're smart, if you're wise, you'll learn when God speaks to you to do it right then. Mm-hmm. Especially if he's correcting you. Some of us who have been corrected by the Lord, I get corrected a lot. I like it now. I enjoy the correction. I don't like the rebukes, but I've only been rebuked probably like once, but that was because I kept doing this. I hear you, God, whatever, okay. And I kept going my own way. But you learn it again when you experience it. And Nebuchadnezzar, unfortunately, you're going to see he didn't repent. But this correction, this discipline, even the rebukes are because he loves us. See, you think God's mad at you when he does that, but he's not. He's doing it to help you. He knows the wages of sin is death. That's the payment. That's the road it's leading you on. Listen to this. And he's so patient. Well, just for the fun of it, look in that next verse real quickly. It says, all this happened in verse 28. All this happened for King Nebuchadnezzar. And then it said, 12 months later, as he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, is not this the great Babylon I have built as a royal residence to my majesty and power for my glory and majesty? But here we are. Now, if I was God and gave him that dream, I would have hit the zapper button right there when Daniel came in. You've had enough time, okay? That's it. But God gave him another year. God is so awesome. And he's that way with you. He is so patient with you. Don't take that patience to mean that, oh, I guess I'm getting off scot-free, huh? Nobody notices, am I right? Don't be so foolish. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but he's patient towards you. He's patient with me. And he's not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? That's where he wants each one of us to be. Listen, your God, everybody loves to talk about the love of God and the compassion of God. That is so true. I love the Lord. His love is blowing me away. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. But even when people use this verse, this is what they say, okay? Exodus 34:6. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. Everybody loves that. Who doesn't want the compassion of God or the grace of God? And it says he is slow to anger. Oh, praise the Lord. It says he's abounding in love, as Gail Irwin used to say, and faithfulness, and maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellions, and sin. Oh, that's fantastic. That's the God I serve, but they leave out this next verse. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished, because then he wouldn't be a good God. He wouldn't be a holy God. He wouldn't be a just God. So listen.
So he's slow, but he's still punishing.
That's right. He's going to discipline you. So get it. He's being patient with you so that you'll repent. Right? But it's going to happen. Now, if it happens on Judgment Day, you're going to go to a place of eternal separation. The Bible calls that hell. There is nothing. There is no love there, no joy, no peace, no patience, no kindness, no goodness, no gentleness, no self-control forever and ever. Wow. And if you are a born-again Christian, then your life is going to be really miserable if you're stuck in some sin. And if he's being patient with you, know that the discipline's coming, the correction's coming, the rebuke, but that's even because he loves you. Listen, Revelation 3:19 says this, those whom I love, I what?
I rebuke.
And I? So what should we do? What does God tell you to do and me? Repent, turn around, turn the direction, stop it. What is in your life that's causing you to stumble or causing others to stumble? What in your thinking, what in your doing, what in your saying? Stop it. Repent. Turn around. But he's saying, those I love, I rebuke and discipline. Listen to this. He even goes so far to say in Psalm 94:12 that blessed is the one you discipline, Lord, the one you teach. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to teach you. Now, we don't have time to go through Hebrews chapter 12, but how we respond to that correction and that discipline makes all the difference. Now, I don't like to be disciplined by the Lord, okay? It's not fun. But I like that he's doing it because that knows I know that he loves me. He cares enough to take that time with me. Do you know what I mean? Hebrews chapter 12, you can read that for homework tonight. But it says that no discipline is pleasant at the time. It's painful. But in the long run, in the end, it's going to yield a fruit of righteousness in your life. That's why he's doing it. To change your heart and mind. Amen? All right, listen to this. How you handle it makes all the difference. How you respond to it. Psalm 32, 3 to 4 says, when I refuse to confess my sin, my body wastes away. I groaned all day long. I agonized. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, and my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. That's how we are. If we don't repent, if we don't respond to that discipline, ooh, that does not sound fun. But look at the next verse. Psalm 32, 5. But then, I love it. Oh, but then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I didn't cover up my iniquity. And I said, I'll confess my transgressions to the Lord. And what did the Lord do? You forgave the guilt of my sin. That's your God. I love that. And it says right here in the text, it says that as he was walking, imagine him walking him on the roof of Babylon, this amazing city, right? With walls that are 300 feet high and 25 feet wide that you could race chariots on the outside walls. Temples overlaid in gold. Remember things like the hanging gardens that he made. A Greek Josephus and other writers had said that it was one of the seven wonders of the world. I mean, he made it for his wife. I mean, this is the city. I mean, it was amazing. And this is a reproduction. This is the Ishtar Gate, right? One of the, I think it's like the seventh or eighth gate that it had. It was great, honestly. It was amazing. Probably one of the most amazing cities in the world. The Tower of Babel probably still was there. This was the Ishtar Gate, which was the eighth gate to get in the city, okay? They took it apart brick by brick from Babylon and moved it to the Berlin Museum. This is just what the eighth inner gate looked like. Can you imagine? It was done in the 1930s. They brought it there. But King Nebuchadnezzar has an eye problem. And it's a bad eye problem. Well, it's not really this kind of an eye problem. It's more like, did you hit that light there, Elijah? It's more like that kind of an eye problem. See, Nebuchadnezzar has this thing that's really God hates. P-R-I-D-E. And though it looks like this in his life, there's a deep, deep root to it. And there's a deep, deep root of pride in many believers' lives that needs to go. For an unbeliever, it needs to go for you to really come face to face with the Lord. But too many believers, that's too much a part of their life, and God wants to get rid of that eye problem. Look what he says there. He says, if you do that, verse 30, I'd circle it. Is not this, as he's walking, overlooking the 100-foot statue of himself that he built, right, overlaid in gold or solid gold, he says, is this not the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? He's saying it's all about what? Me, myself, and? Yeah. He's got a definite eye problem, and that needs to be fixed. You know, the Bible says there's six things the Lord hates and seven that are abomination to him. Pride, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that run that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord amongst the brethren. First thing he says is pride. He hates it, Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. Listen to this. This is from the Ishtar Gate that they recovered in 1930s. This is an excerpt from it, okay? This is a huge wall, and this is what it says. I, Nebuchadnezzar, laid the foundation of the gates down to the groundwater level and had them built out of blue stone. Upon the walls in the inner room of the gate are bulls and dragons, and thus I magnificently adorned them with luxurious splendor for all mankind to behold in awe. And this cuneiform cylinder with the inscription of Nebuchadnezzar describing the construction of the outer city of the wall of Babylon, this is what it says. I built a strong wall that cannot be shaken with bitumen and brake wicks. I laid its foundation on the breast of the netherworld, and I built its top as high as a mountain. See, the enemy said, I could be like the Most High God. See, when you start talking about I in your marriage, I in your parenting, I in your friendships, I at work, I at church, they're not giving enough attention to me, you are spiraling. We need to be talking about him. Listen to this. This is actually a brick inscribed with the name and titles of Nebuchadnezzar. This is kind of bizarre. I don't know if you know this. But he was so full of himself that King Nebuchadnezzar, right, his building program at Babylon used 15 million baked bricks. Million. And do you know what they all had stamped on them? Here's the inscription. Nebuchadnezzar, the eldest son of Nabopolassar, king of Babylon am I. So he was so full of himself, he stamped that on every single brick. 15 million bricks. I built it. It's pretty amazing. But he forgot one thing. And Benjamin Franklin said it pretty well, and I PG'd it for us. Okay? Says, the greatest monarch on the proudest throne is still obliged to sit upon his own rear end. You know what? We're all just people, aren't we? Everything we have comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. There's a story, I don't know if you guys have heard it, but of Napoleon at Waterloo. And you're going to see Nebuchadnezzar's pride here is going to be his downfall. And he didn't listen to the Lord. And the great French writer Victor Hugo said that on the morning of the Battle of Waterloo, Napoleon stood gazing upon the field of battle as he described to his commanding officer his strategy for the day's campaign. We will put our infantry here, the cavalry there, and the artillery there, and this is in quotes. At the end of the day, England will be at the feet of France, and Wellington will be the prisoner of Napoleon. And after a long pause, the commanding officer said, respectfully, quote, but we must not forget, sir, that man proposes, but it's God who disposes. And with arrogant pride, Napoleon stretched his body to full height. I could just see him. And he replied to that commander, quote, I want you to understand, sir, that Napoleon possesses and Napoleon disposes. Victor Hugo went on to write these words, from that moment, Waterloo was lost, for God sent rain and hail so that the troops of Napoleon could not maneuver as he had planned, and on the night of battle, it was Napoleon who was the prisoner of Wellington, and France was at the feet of England. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And poor Nebi here is a prideful man. It goes on to say, if you could hit the lights for just a second. Thank you. In verse 31, It says, the words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with wild animals, and you will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass by you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to whomever he wishes. What's going to happen next here is our friend Nebuchadnezzar is going to be eating some of this. Humble pie. Matthew 23:12 says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Man, I can't tell you enough, man. Do not walk in that pride. You know, pride causes us... I'm sorry, Elijah, we hit the lights just for one more second. You know, when you look at the difference between pride and humility, pride causes us to take all the glory for our accomplishments for ourselves. Humility causes us to give all the glory for our accomplishments to God. Pride focuses on other people's failures, whereas humility realizes how far they fall short and have overwhelming sense of their need to grow. Pride is self-righteous and overly critical and fault-finding, where humility is compassionate and forgiving. Pride looks to their life through a, looks at people's lives, looks at their life, excuse me, through a telescope, but others' life through a microscope. And humility looks for the best in others. Pride looks down on those who aren't as spiritual as, or committed as they are, and humility realizes that only God knows a true person's motives. And pride thinks they know who's truly proud and truly humble. Humility leaves the judgment of the heart in God's hands. And pride thinks everyone is privileged to have them involved, but humility thinks they don't deserve the opportunities that God gives them. That's the difference between a prideful person and a humble person. You know, this, he's going to be humbled. The Bible says as he's looking out, as Nebuchadnezzar is looking out, as he's speaking these words, it makes me think of this verse, Matthew 16:26. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and lose their soul? Or what would you give in exchange for your soul? God won't be mocked. Isaiah 13:11 says, I, the Lord, will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their sin. I will crush the arrogance of the proud and humble the pride of the mighty. I don't want to be the guy he crushes. I don't want you to be that person either. Because honestly, it's the Lord who made the heavens. His throne is from there, and he rules over everything. So your boss doesn't rule. Trump doesn't rule. America doesn't rule. Our Father in heaven is the ruler of everything. And so I want to say one quick thing. When God is speaking to you, don't be prideful. Don't put him off. Listen. Psalm 32:9 says, do not be like the horse or mule that don't have any understanding, but must be controlled by the bit or bridle, or they won't come to you. Nebuchadnezzar is being forced. This is what's happening for his own good. Don't be like that. Come to him. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. That's our Lord. I love that. Now, it says, you hit that just for a second, Lydia. It says in verse 33, immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. Now, this is actually called zoanthropy. And that's a mental disorder that where people believe they're animals. Okay, now I actually had pictures at first. Kind of, to be honest, I thought it was kind of funny. Now specifically, it's a boanthropy. And it's a psychological disorder where people think they're cows. I thought that was a joke. Except for the fact that it was in the Bible. So I had this funny thing. I was going to do a Chick-fil-A thing with Nebuchadnezzar's face, you know, eat more chicken. I thought it was really funny, and I had some stuff. I was going to show some pictures and stuff. But the more I started looking at this and seeing these people that suffer, it wasn't funny at all. I had tears in my eyes. This is pretty, they're aware of it. They just can't do anything about it. So you've got people, men, women, dressed like this. I had even something I was going to print out and tell you about this medical observation. I just couldn't do it. I was in tears. They're out in the field. And you're going to see, this is what he's, Nebuchadnezzar, when it says that he is, I mean, now they probably had him in some royal field or something, but he's eating grass. I mean, he thinks he's a cow, an ox, actually.
In that way, but do you think his mind was right? Yeah. Okay, you see people that think they're cats or they're whatever, and they start to put whiskers in their face and they put fangs on it. Okay, so like their mind. So like he's out there, and I know he thinks he's a cow and he's eating grass, but is there some kind of right thinking?
Well, you know what? How much, I don't know, because the Bible doesn't say, but they did say that about folks like this, that they're actually people, they're aware of the people staring at them and stuff, but they just can't do anything about it. Yes, but he can, because he was told all he has to do is bend his knee and acknowledge the God in heaven. But you know how long it took him to do this? 7 years. Let me tell you, I'm eating grass in a field. We're talking 5 minutes. I'm done. Whatever it is, I'm over it.
Are you saying Nebuchadnezzar?
Oh, yeah. God, he thought he was grazing field. Now, it's kind of funny, or I shouldn't say it's funny. It's interesting. But God had to humble this man to the nth degree. Listen, thank you. Abedinus, a Greek historian, wrote in the B.C. days that Nebuchadnezzar was for several years. Now, again, this is not a Christian, but he says he was possessed by some god and that he had immediately disappeared from sight. From the royal courts. Well, sure, he's a cow. He's eating in the royal fields. They had to hide him away. Now, the Talmud actually says that Daniel took care of him and ran the country during this time. And, also, interestingly enough, with all of Babylon's and Nebuchadnezzar's historical records and finds that we have now, there's no historical record of his governmental activity between 582 BC and 575. There's no record of it. And guess how long it is? Isn't that interesting? Now, I just, to me, that's amazing. But it, hit the light, Elijah. But it says, look at this, verse 34. Remember, this is his testimony. He's writing this to everybody. I think he's like, I just don't care. I'm so happy to be saved and to bend my knee to the Lord. This is what happened to me. Listen to him. Now he's like, at the end of this time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, I raised my eyes towards heaven. And my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored him and I glorified him. See, life is more than just about being like, yeah, I'm okay with God. God leaves me alone. I leave God alone. No, if you're a follower of his, you want to glorify him. That's your goal. You want to honor him. You want to make his name known. I want to present him in such a way that gives him honor. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:26, lift your eyes and look up to the heavens. Who created all this? Certainly wasn't King Nebuchadnezzar. It's he who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and might and strength, not one of them is missing. Psalm 121, 1-2 says, if you get those lights, it says, I will lift my eyes unto the hills. And where does my help come from? My help comes from where? The maker of heaven and earth. It's all him. And when I think about Nebi, my friend Neb, which I think you'll see in heaven, but don't quote me on that. If you have a different opinion, that's okay. You're entitled to it. Psalm 118, 17-18 says, hey, I'll not die. Instead, I'll live to tell what the Lord has done. And that's what he's doing. He's writing this letter to everybody in the known world. And it says, the Lord has disciplined me severely, but he did not let me die. Hit the lights one more time, Elijah. He goes on to say, His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation, not mine. Verse 35 says, all the people of the earth are regarded as nothing, and he does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? At that same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. But now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. That is pretty powerful. Isn't that amazing? That's our God. I love that. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Amen. Gary, will you come up and let's just share communion? And then, are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Rebecca, you had a question.
It's really hard to like, not interrupt you in time.
Okay.
But I have like little things to say.
Yes.
Can you say that
one? Yes, you can say anything you want.
Wait,
yeah.
No mic?
I don't know where the mic is, so let's just say no mic. Oh, mic.
Check, check. Okay, so just three things throughout what you were saying. When you were talking about witnessing and speaking the truth in love, I've always had a fear of witnessing. I don't know why. We can talk about God, but when you say the name Jesus, it's like you expect someone to react badly.
Yes.
And it also seems like we're judging them. Like, because I have to tell you about Jesus, that means you're a dirty, rotten sinner.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really hard. So when you put that up there with the signpost, with the truth and love,
mm-hmm.
I felt like God was saying that it's really not as difficult. It's more simple than we make it out to be.
Yeah.
And so I wrote it down. So like if we're afraid to witness, just remember when you speak to these people, just speak the truth in love with gentleness and respect, right? Which
yes.
is what the word says. But that's it. Like that's it.
That's it.
It's all of it. So like as long as you're speaking to someone in gentleness and love and you're, you know, replying to what they're saying, you know, we read people, so they talk about it a certain
yes.
way about their life and you talk to them about what the Lord brings to you. It doesn't have to be
that's right.
A, B, C, D, you know? So that was like a huge encouragement to me because I've always, you think I'm outspoken, but I'm really like terrified of offending people because I've done it my whole life and I'm kind of tired of asking for forgiveness all the time.
Yeah.
So that was really encouraging. And I love this. I love it when God simplifies something for me because I like to make things like way more complicated than they really are.
Then let me tell you one thing too, because
sure.
there really isn't any, you don't have to worry about witnessing. Because there really isn't a witnessing. What you are is a witness. See, when they call a witness to the stand, you know what they do? All they do is testify to what they've seen, what they've heard, and what they've experienced.
Right.
That's what we do.
Right. So talking about what God has done in your own life.
Amen.
And that's
Amen.
Irrefutable.
Amen.
Second thing, when you said about...
Is it okay if they hand that out, Gary, while we're talking?
I think it's a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah. So you said you think God's mad at you when he corrects you or that he doesn't care about you. And I definitely have felt that over the years. Not that he was mad at me. I never thought he was mad. But I always thought like he just didn't care that much because why would he let me stay in a terrible place for so long when he knows that I'm desperate and I need help, right? So a couple things there. You were talking about when he corrects you, you know, you think he's mad at you. And like any of us who are parents, I know it's hard for kids to understand, but as a parent, we correct our kids because we love them.
Absolutely.
And even when we correct them, we're like trying really hard to do it in the right way so that it'll come through as love.
Right.
But sometimes it doesn't. They still right. are like, you're trying to ruin my fun.
Yeah.
You just are boring and old-fashioned. And
yeah.
But later, they can look back and see. And it's the same way with God when he corrects us. At the time, it may seem, you know, like it's painful. But later, it's like, well, he did that because it was what was best for me.
Yes.
And letting me go my way wasn't really best for me.
Amen.
So there's that. And then last one. When you said about him having to stay in the field for 7 years or seven seasons or whatever it ends yeah. up being, you know, that we were repented sooner. I don't think he had the option at that point. I think it's kind of like when we do wrong and God's been warning us, like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And then we do it. Let's say we have a gambling addiction, okay? I like to gamble. So let's say he keeps saying to you, like, this is not a game. You could lose your whole family's fortune, like, or, you know, fortune, their house or whatever. Don't do this. He warns us, and we keep saying, no, God, I got this handled. I'm good at this.
Yeah.
And then we lose everything. Well, guess what? We could repent the next day and
yeah.
We still lost everything.
Yeah.
And God will restore it because he does. He's a God of restoration. But when we dig our trenches, sometimes we got to walk in them for a while. So yes. I don't think he had any option. He had to wait for that time to pass, and that was the prophecy.
Well,
he didn't
yes.
say, if you repent during
Actually,
it.
Okay.
It was like,
okay,
if you repent, you can avoid this. But he didn't repent, and then it came.
Okay, well, here's the thing. And you could hand that to Stanley. I know he had one quick. But I want to say one quick thing about that, though. If you remember, God even said that when he spoke directly to him, there's an until in there. It said that you will be this way. Now, whether that was the fixed time that God already knew when he would give it up, but it did. He did say that this will happen until you lift your eyes towards heaven. So, you know, again, where that free will and God's sovereignty meet. Stan.
Back to where we were at. The afflictions, you know, the afflictions. I think they're a part of God doing it to us to separate us from our free will to bend to his will, to the Lord's will. You know, I think that's a big part of it. Afflictions that we have on us. I mean, it's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to stir him up, stir his heart up.
Crank it up.
And you know what? That free will that you have and running around, I think, so I think our free will gets in our way of his will.
Agreed.
A whole lot. And our afflictions come from that.
I agree. Good word.
Yeah.
Now, you probably need that microphone. Would you, Stanley, would you mind running that?
Okay, let's all turn to Luke 22. And I know it's late, but I think this will be 5 minutes that, or 10 minutes that are worth spending. Luke 22, and we'll begin with verse 14. Luke 22:14. When the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. When I knew I was going to prepare for this, I took a look at Last Supper passages in all the Gospels. And two things in this passage specifically kind of jumped out at me. And you know what, guys? Why don't you start passing out things? You can do that while I talk. The first was in verse 15, where I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. You know, and I have to ask myself, well, why would Jesus be eager for the Passover and the Last Supper to occur? And I think it has to be because he was eager to fulfill the role and the mission that he came to earth to fulfill. His purpose on earth was to be our Savior. That was his main function, and he was eager to see that completion. The other thing was in verse 19, do this in remembrance of me. Right? And it's funny how sometimes God, he'll bring the same thought to mind in different forms multiple times. And I don't know if he just does that because I'm slow or if he does that for all of you guys, but you could tell me that it's for all of you so I don't feel bad. Okay, good, thank you. But so I was thinking about this. He does this and do this in remembrance. And I was thinking, well, what should we remember? Then Friday night, we did Not a Fan. And the climatic scene of the movie was a man who had turned his life over to the Lord. He'd become not a fan, but a follower of Jesus. And what all of the people remembered, it was his memorial service. And the people were coming up and saying, I remember him because he did this, he did that, he did this for me, one after another. And they were remembering. This was their way of remembering him, the things he had done in the name of the Lord. And I look at this time. I know, you know, I was taught early on that communion, it's a time when we should ask the Lord, what is it in my life that you want changed? And, you know, and I think that is important. We should all do that. But I think also we need to remember that in and of ourselves, we are incapable. We are incapable of making that change. We can make promises, but we can't make change. It's only because the Lord came down, what he was eager to do, that we're able to fulfill those promises. And so as you pray about it now, ask yourself, what would he have changed, want to change in your life? And are you willing to let him make that change in your life? And then there's one caution. Communion is for those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And if anyone here today doesn't know the Lord, you can correct that right now. Just ask him. Ask him to become your Lord and your Savior. And that. And if you do, please see Pastor Darren or myself or tell someone immediately afterwards so we can talk to you and explain what it all does. And so as Josh plays, take the matzah, take the wine, grape juice actually. Pray, ask the Lord what he would change, what he would empower you to change in your life. Thank you. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for your body, Lord. We thank you for your presence here with us. Lord, help us to be better disciples. Be with our little body this week with all the different activities. Bless Pastor and his family as they take a few days of vacation time. Let them be refreshed. Watch over your people, Lord, and help us to love you a fraction of as much as you love us. And we thank you for your love. We thank you for our Savior. We thank you for his sacrifice. It's in his name we pray. Amen.